Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Mike
Cubillos.
Apparently we've been saying his name wrong this entire time, and by we, I mean Fish, who has been the mouthpiece of said name, and me, who does not know how to speak English, as evident by me saying me, and or read English, despite my English degree. So, Mike
Cubillos
is on right now. Again, that is Mike
Cubillos,
who is laughing. All right, yes. Mike, for the rest of this intro, please refrain from talking. Okay. So, Mike is awesome. He is the very first PR guru, or I think his technical title is Badass Motherfucker, to be on this show. And I'm just really happy he's here today because I've met him in person once, and it was at Intelligentsia in Venice, despite knowing him or knowing of him for over a decade. I mean, Earshot is just synonymous with a lot of bands in the scene that are played on Idobe, and all sincerity, I'm just really happy he's here. So before we get to the interview, let's just talk about the next few weeks. Our guests, we've got actually what's an interesting day, and again, I use the word interesting to describe an ugly painting, but we had to cancel someone's appointment due to the fact that I was going on tour with a band called Boomtown Crooks, so we're doubling up with interviews next week, but we're airing one. We're interviewing J.D. Perry and Sean Dorsey from No Hope Records, who, for the record, I didn't even plan this segue. Mike?
I work press for the label.
I said you can't talk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My God, Mike. Mike.
You pointed at me.
I did point at you, and you are right, and you're technically right that I pointed, but I also had a caveat before it. I'm not really upset. Mike Cubillos is actually – that's how you pronounce it, right? I did it right?
Close enough.
Cool. No, Cubillos is – and I said it correctly. He actually works with No Hope Records, and – JD played in a band called Valencia, who I sincerely like, and Sean is just a nice guy. And then immediately after, I'm doing an interview with Zach Falco, who is a booking agent, and he is assisting an act I manage called Best X right now. So props to him. The following week, we've got another PR person that I forgot because I thought it was Jen. We've got Ray Rolden, who's going to be on Waldman's Words, and Ray has worked with Britney Spears. So I really hope to hear something lucky. And then we've got Megan Thompson at Hopeless Records coming on. So far I've been speaking for 2 minutes and 40 seconds, so I have about 10 seconds I could fill with Mike. You can say your last name, please.
Cubillos.
He's here. I'm stoked. Fish smiled once during this thing, which is more than normal, so I'm really happy. And for the record, today is Fish's birthday, but when this airs, it isn't his birthday, so I love him. He just made me a coffee. Anyway, stick around for Waldman's Words with Mike. Hello, we are back with Waldman's Words with Mike
Cubillos.
Yep, I wrote it down under number one on my outline. I used to do outlines on paper, and paper is so 2016. So now I have it on my phone, and my wife gave me this thing where I could put my middle finger through the phone and hold it like this. So I could do this entire show looking really awesome. You can't see me, but I look cool. So Cubillos, right?
That's it, man.
So am I one for one?
You got it.
Hey, Fish, how did you pronounce it?
Cubillos.
So we were both wrong. Originally, I pronounced it Smith.
That would be way easier. Let's just go with that.
Why did you choose that for your last name?
I'll ask my dad that, yeah.
Why did he choose it for his last name? All right, so we have met, or not we have met. We met in person, like I said in the intro, at Intelligentsia, but I have heard your name for years because you are actually working with Sony on a band I was in called The City Drive. So tell me your experience with The City Drive, because my experience was bipolar.
Yeah, it was, I mean, honestly, you know, I'm an old man, so that goes way far back.
Right.
In my memory, it hasn't been serving me very well lately. But no, I think I'm trying to think. Was that like early 2000s?
I moved to LA September 3rd, 2003.
Okay.
I knew two people.
Yeah.
Those two people were not in The City Drive. I auditioned for a bunch of bands. I got into two that I really liked. And The City Drive, Danny already had it, but everyone in the band left.
Right.
Which should have been a red flag. Anyway, I've never said that on the air. But if you're listening, sorry, not sorry. So basically, That happened. I try not to say when I listen back to these shows and I say I sound stupid. So like the City Drive existed and then reformed, and he liked me, and I played bass, and I was jamming with a drummer, so we combined. And it was really stupid. This is pre-social media, so, and again, after this interview is not me. I'm going to be shifting the focus to you, so the narcissism hour will be over soon. I know that he's in PR, so he's used to making other people look good. So basically, we signed with Sony, and we released a record in 2006, so that would have been when it happened.
Right.
So enough about me. What did you think of the whole City Drive project, or do you not even remember it?
No, I mean, I had fun working with the band back then. It was good to see your name pop up again after all this time. And just a little side note, when we met up in Venice back in November.
Last year, yeah.
That was actually, I believe it was election day.
We did.
We were a few hours from finding out the outcome of the election, which, you know.
We were going to talk politics here. Fish hates this, but he actually, on his interview, for the record, brought up something political, and I was so shocked. Really shocked, because he has this whole social media presence of, like, fuck politics. And then he gets on the show, and the entire show is him endorsing Mitt Romney. Like, I do not understand why he did that, because, like, we've spoken, and he's not – he's apolitical, but for some reason, he just identifies with the Mormon politicians. I don't get it. So, fuck Trump.
Well, you said it.
so I said it. You nodded and smiled. What's your stance on abortion?
Oh,
what's your stance on Trump?
Don't get me started. Yeah, definitely not a fan. Why? A fan for anything he stands for. I didn't vote for the guy.
Did you vote for Hillary? Happy.
I did.
Did you vote for Bernie in the primary, or did you vote for Hillary in the primary?
I voted for Hillary. Actually.
And you and my wife agree. And we can leave it at that.
And so, I look back and I'm not sure if I'm happy with that decision, but
I think Bernie would have won.
Yeah.
I do. I really, really do, because he was so radically different than Trump, whereas people saw Hillary and they're just like, she really doesn't stand for anything. She's a career politician.
Yep.
I understood why people voted for Trump. I just don't understand why people voted for Trump.
Yeah. Well, anyway. I was shocked. And anyway,
So the rest of the show is Waldman's words on The Economist. So we're just going to talk about politics. No, we're going to close that door right now and just say, you know, Fish and I are from Long Island. I like to talk about Fish on this show because he's my special friend. But basically, Fish and he didn't smile when I said that. So, oh, now he almost did. So Fish and I are both from Long Island. We both moved to L.A. You are from Chatsworth, where they film Boogie Nights, right?
Correct. Well, it gets a bad rap as being like the porn capital.
That's
of,
not a bad rap. That's a good rub.
but that's where I was born and raised. I wasn't born there, actually. I was raised there. Did my
You were reared there?
I was reared. Oh, that sounds horrible.
Pun intended.
In high school, I used to deliver pizza, and that was a big part of my I deliver pizza to these, like, porn warehouses.
Well, that's how they actually devised the theme for pizza delivery guy in porn was through Mike.
The Cubillos, yeah.
Thank you.
That's a big plot point there in porn.
Okay, let's focus on life outside of your porn career. So you I assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I showed you this outline, you went to school.
Yes.
What did you study, and how did that, I guess, become your gateway drug into earshot?
Into the music thing. Yeah, I went
It's not a music thing. It's a music career.
A music career. I went to Cal State Northridge. I was radio, TV, film.
CSUN.
That's right.
What's their mascot?
The Matadors.
Do you really think that they are if it's a commuter school?
I know. That's one thing. I wish I had that going away, you know, experience.
You mean Wolverines?
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, CSUN is a real, like, honestly, for people who live in Southern California that don't want to fall into insurmountable debt, it makes so much sense.
It's a great school. It really is. And I think, like, their production, TV production, and their film programs have even gotten better. And
like USC level? Or?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people
I hate
pretty
USC,
much, I would say.
I hate it.
I would say even when I was there, the film school was getting, like, a rep where if you can't afford USC, kind of move
kind of
move over to Cal State Northridge.
And the microphone. Yes, exactly. But no, here's the thing. If you go to college at the end of the day, like, yeah, you go to Harvard, what you're paying for is obviously you're paying for their teachers, but you're paying for that network of people.
Yep.
So it's kind of what you make of it. I mean, there's some people like Bill Gates, as you know, who he's done pretty well and he dropped out of school. And there's plenty of doctorates who are doing fucking nothing.
Yeah.
So CSUN, what really attracts me as someone who doesn't live here is – well, actually lives here now. But what I heard about it was that, you know, it's a really, really good place and it's got a homey atmosphere. And yeah, a lot of schools like Michigan, I loved it, but it was not a homey. I had lecture halls with like thousands of people.
Yeah. And the proximity to LA and Hollywood and the entertainment industry for someone like me, Chatsworth, it was a great school. And there were a lot of professors that were working in the profession. And so I set out to get into TV production. That was a time where
My first job was in TV casting.
Oh, is that right?
Yep, on The Office, the pilot.
Is that right?
I've yet to lie to you. Fish just kicked me. He literally just kicked me.
That's awesome.
Don't edit that out. I'm in pain.
My son is watching The Office now on Netflix because
the British or the American?
The American one.
Okay.
So he's I'm kind of reliving it or
tell him you met the casting assistant to the pilot.
Right
just
on,
gone.
Man. You did an awesome
Mike
Cubillos.
Met Scott.
The casting.
No,
assistant.
No. What's my last? I want to see if you know my last name.
Waldman.
No one ever mispronounces my last name ever. It's and Fishkin. Waldman. Do people mispronounce your last name? It's pretty phonetic, you know. Fishkin Waldman.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different. Anyway,
you got it easy, but
I do have it easy in many ways because I have you as a guest. I have had guests that I also like.
Right on. That's always a good thing.
Yes. So how did you transfer from being a matador to being the matador to earshot? I don't know.
I did internships. I did the old school route. I went to college. I did the internship thing, which led to a few different internships at a few different record companies. And eventually,
were you thinking like label end before you thought that you wanted to work in publicity?
No, I wasn't really sure. I was always really into music. I was into writing. Kind of figured that I'd do the intern thing in a few different departments and maybe that would lead to something that I really dug. And I did just that. I worked in video promotion. I worked in radio promotion. I worked
in
marketing.
Can you be specific? Because, I mean, you literally just closed with marketing. And to me, the marketing word is very vague. And I know that you could talk about this stuff for a long time, so rein yourself in. But what did that promotion literally involve? Because people listening right now might be listening to the show just because they want to become a guy who owns Earshot or a girl, you know what I mean? So what does that mean?
Yeah, well, I mean,
I think I know.
It was very different back then. What exactly, you know, there was no...
And what year was this?
This was probably 94, 93, something like that.
If you're 22 years old, how did you do that?
what's that?
They said if you're currently 22 years old, how did that happen?
Oh, well, I mean... I don't know. I asked myself, how did I get here? No.
what is life all about?
Anyway, I worked in radio. A lot of people don't know when they think of publicity, they kind of use those words promotion and publicity interchangeably, and they're very different. Radio promotion, you're going after, specifically radio play at commercial radio, college radio, all that stuff.
And you need marketing and money muscle.
Exactly. And so publicity kind of entails everything other than radio, whether it's TV, online, print. So I kind of bopped around a few different departments and found my way into publicity. And I really kind of felt that was the perfect marriage of like working directly
with
the artist.
Pre-real marriage?
pre-real marriage. Although I was with my wife even back then.
Wait. This is more important than anything.
High school sweetheart.
What year? Like freshman, sophomore in high school?
Well, no. We were friends and kind of hung out in high school, but we didn't officially become like an item until college.
You know, I haven't heard the phrase an item in a long time, so thank you for that.
There you go.
That's awesome. Yeah. I do not have a high school sweetheart. I met my wife when I was 33.
Nice.
So it's like when people lament to me, and by people I mean the guy to my right, about dating and all that stuff, it's like, you have time.
Definitely. There's definitely time.
I don't know if you even recognize what I just did. Happy birthday. He laughed.
That's right.
So you obviously you worked in many facets, but how did you make the transition to being like, you know, I want to do publicity, I want my own company? Because if I am correct in the assuming, and please correct me if I am wrong. Correct. Earshot is you.
Yes.
Do you have any employees?
I currently have one employee, Tony Schrum.
I love Tony.
Tony's awesome.
I don't know Tony.
You don't know Tony?
No, I know the name.
We'll have to change that. Yeah, okay. He's a good dude. Everyone knows Tony. Tony is also...
Well, I'm not everyone, okay? Yeah. Stop yelling at me.
You seem like you know everyone, so I'm surprised.
I know
that.
A bunch of people, but there's a difference between know and quotes and know. Like, I know that name.
Yeah.
And I could say... No, without quotes, I know Fish.
Yeah.
I know you.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's people I know of.
Exactly.
That's what
I mean. Tony also works at New Noise. He oversees the website and does a lot of things over there.
Shout out to New Noise for covering young, unsigned bands and taking risks on people. Sorry. I have to say that. And I'm sure that Mr.
Tony Schrum?
No. I'm trying to get you to say your last
name. Oh, Cubillos, sorry.
Mr. Cubillos agrees that I'm sure some bands come to him and be like, get me on the cover of Rolling Stone. It's like, what are you talking about?
That happens. Definitely part of the job is...
managing expectations.
Exactly.
Yeah. I try to manage Fishes every time I walk in here and be like, dude, I promise you I'll do an okay job.
Set the bar low and then exceed expectations.
Well, there's an expression about that. It's just like... under promise and over deliver.
I tend to
you're self-effacing. you tend to beyond under promise and beyond over deliver, and I'm not kissing your ass. You're a good person.
Well, thanks, bud. I appreciate that. But I like to aim high, just like a good manager should do. But
I try to aim high, too. I don't know if I'm a good manager, but I try to.
You are a very good manager.
Fishing.
I think it's important, though, to also be realistic with the goals that, you know, you set. And not to say that some of that bigger stuff will definitely happen, but it's a process.
It's more of a the pipe dream, which it could happen. It could happen. It's kind of like when – applying for schools, you have reach schools, you have schools that you're supposed to quote unquote get into, and you have safety schools. And my guidance counselor, we came up with 8 schools, and I wish that I didn't listen to her because I got into every school. I got into my 2 reaches.
Nice.
There's a part of me wishes that I applied to Harvard and got a postcard saying fuck no. Like, I kind of wish that I had that. So
was Michigan your number one?
It was actually originally I wanted to go to Cornell. And I applied early decision and didn't get in. And then I ended up getting later.
Okay.
But I think I was just this punk rock bitter kid. I'm like, fuck you. You didn't want me the first time. So I went to Michigan and I'm so happy I did.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like a great school.
Oh, dude. It's exceptional.
My son's best friend's older sister, she's the senior, just graduated. She's going there.
Oh, she is? Yep. Well, for the record.
SoCal kid. Lives on the beach. Is going to be going to Michigan.
Yo, bro. Snow. yeah, if you want to link me up, obviously, do not give her a social security number on the air. Privately, I'm happy to give her restaurant recommendations and life recommendations.
Awesome.
100,000,000%. I was just in Ann Arbor last week.
Okay.
Nice. I can't say enough good things.
Nice. I've never been.
Yeah, you fucked up. I have been to Northridge. Yes, I have.
And
on campus, yes.
Right on.
I filmed actually, I did not film, I did a photo shoot for the band Lido Beach there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the third band I played
in.
But again, not
in the studio or like on campus?
On campus, like walking around, kind of like the equivalent of like the Diag or whatever.
Yeah.
It was right near, I guess, Nordoff and Reseda.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the campus has changed a lot. I actually graduated right before the Northridge earthquake. So a lot
my
of
eyes
buildings
just shot out of my
were
head.
Destroyed.
I'm sorry.
And, the campus, I wouldn't even probably recognize it now, even though I still have family.
Because of Mother Nature.
Well, they just rebuilt it. It's like, it's amazing. Like a lot of the art, they now have this huge performing arts center there that gets pretty big, you know, name artists that play there. And anyway, shout out to CSUN.
And shout out to earthquakes. My wife, actually, she's from Los Angeles. And so... I had never experienced an earthquake till I moved to LA. Fish, had you? You had where?
Ironically, after being in LA for a month, I came back to Long Island and there was a big earthquake in Virginia that I felt on Long Island.
Wow, that's a powerful earthquake.
And then a hailstorm a few days after. And then
are these Pharaoh's plagues? Like, what are you doing?
It was. And then Hurricane Irene a few days after that.
Wow, you are good luck.
Yeah, that August was lit.
Hurricane Michael. Like, seriously, there's two Michaels in this room. You guys just caused some fucking terror. But I actually am not as cool as Fish in my earthquake experience. And the very first earthquake I remember was when I was in a bi-level apartment. This is the very last time I had a roommate before I started living alone and then starting dating. And I mean, not date. I didn't start dating, but living with a significant other. And I was sleeping, and I thought that my roommate was running, but not just like jogging, and not just like Carl Lewis running up the stairs.
Yeah.
And I woke up, and obviously he wasn't, and that was my earthquake. Kelly, to this day, my wife, anytime there's like I'm shaking Mike like a little bit, she freaks out. She because of Northridge.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah, we lived in the Valley at the time, and
wow,
that's kind of what prompted my wife and I to move to the South Bay.
To get the hell out and go to the beach?
Yeah, just kind of move, like, get out of Dodge. It was pretty bad out there.
Well, yeah. South Bay is gorgeous. It's a completely different speed of life. I mean, granted, I'm a New Yorker, and I'm drinking my second cup of coffee, so my speed of life is a little different, and Fish and I have different degrees of intensity. I'm pretty fucking intense, so I don't know how I would do in the South Bay,
but the
South Bay is very surfer bro.
It is. It's changing a lot. I mean, it used to be kind of
or
a
now it's like trust fund kids surfer bro.
Well, I live in Hermosa, and it's still kind of got a bit of a funky beach town vibe.
Sharkies?
there's that, but there's a good kind of history of punk rock in the South Bay.
Damn right there is.
Pennywise, Black Flag, Descendants. You know, my kid's middle school teacher was in
Circle Jerks too, right? Oh, they're Beverly Hills, I think.
Yeah, well, Circle Jerks, Keith Morris, I think, lived in Hermosa.
Damn right he did.
Back in the day. But yeah, one of the guys in Red Cross was my
Everyone's talking
son's
about them lately.
Teacher. Yeah.
Everyone talks about Red Cross for some reason. I don't know their catalog. What album do you recommend?
I don't even know.
You like The Cure? I read that on Facebook.
I love
recently.
The Cure. Yeah. I'm a big 80s kid, like new wave, all that.
But Descendants
stuff.
Were 80s. Without the Descendants, I will go on record, there would have been no Blink-182 or Saves the Day. I stand by that. Descendants have the perfect blend of melody, musicianship, and grit. I love the Descendants, and I feel like if I could be affiliated with them in any other way, I would be very happy. So we're going to cut this off in a second, and then we're going to, I guess, talk more about Earshot, the labels. I said, God freaking damn it. Earshot, the labels that Mike works with. Mike, what's your last name?
Cubillos.
That Mike Cubillos works with, the bands that Mike?
Cubillos works with.
It's Not Dead Festival with which Mike?
Cubillos.
And so quickly, to make this a little bit more narcissistic again, which Adobe representative did you choose you to kind of assist with It's Not Dead?
Scott Waldman.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And guess who is my plus one?
Fish.
True story. Nice. And he's not going to know any of the bands because he's young. Oh, it's going to be so great.
Hopefully it'll be one of those things where I know this song.
No, he'll know Rancid and Dropkick Murphys. And I'm going to be like rocking out to Voodoo Glow Skulls.
Right on. And Interrupters. There's a lot of new bands too playing. So
It's a sick, sick festival. And we are just really stoked for the rider you promised us with the concubine and all the escargot. So thank you so very much.
It's going to happen. Sure.
Dope. Well, let's see where we're at with time. Doop a doop a doop a doop. All right, we're going to cut this off for a second. Listen to the commercials. I am so fucking happy right now. Mike is a good guest. Stay tuned. Hello. Part two of interview with Mike.
Cubillos.
All right, that's the last time I'm going to make you do that. I am sorry that I did that. His name is Cubillos.
Put me to work.
Yeah, I'm so sorry I'm putting you to work for having you on this really small platform of Adobe. I feel so bad. Well, tell everyone about what happened yesterday.
Oh, do we have to?
No.
I messed up, man. I thought the interview was yesterday. I blew it.
I'm sorry for calling you out. That was my one muckraker thing, but it's okay because you know what happened? Today is happening.
Yeah.
Do you want me to edit that out or are you cool with that?
No. Okay, good. Totally fine. And now I knew exactly where to go. It was perfect.
And we met before.
Got to listen to Howard Stern in the car.
And we went into a restroom at a garden. And it was great. But we did not cross streams.
No.
For the record. We used separate containers. Okay. Yes. So Earshot. You work with – I copied and pasted the – but for the record, I just want to let you know that if you are a guest on the show, which you might be someday, it's so helpful because I don't know everything about every person. I don't even know everything about myself. So if someone sends me a few bullet points, that's amazing. Mike sent me about 43 bullet points. And I'm not upset about that. No, I'm serious.
Just wanted to make sure you knew what was up.
It's all in the details. That's not a criticism. That's a compliment.
That's the publicist in me.
No.
Prepping the host.
Prepping the host, and I appreciate it because, like, I'm going to show you what I copied. Look, this is page one. This is page two. This is page three. And four.
Nice.
So four different pages. So what I'm going to do right now is just say.
That's big text, though.
Yeah, that's because I'm an old man. Why'd you do that? Now you're calling me out?
No, I need it.
Yeah, exactly. You should follow my advice. So basically, Earshot is affiliated with a bunch of different labels, and I'll just give two a shout out. One of which is In Vogue Records, and we both are big fans of Nick Moore.
Absolutely. He's one of the greatest dudes, man.
And they're sincere. He was one of the first guests on my show.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
He was the very first label person I had on the show, too.
Okay. He's a good guy. I've been working with him a long time. I worked with him on his band, Before Their Eyes.
It's crazy.
We go way back, and I have nothing but awesome things to say about him and the label.
The label is great. The label is growing and rebranding.
Yep.
Because it used to be more metalcore and hardcore. And yes, they still have bands like Convictions and all that, but there's a whole bunch of other acts. Like, I'll give a shout out to my boy Morgan Carney, who manages Woven and Hiatus, which couldn't be any more different than Convictions.
Yep.
So In Vogue is killing it right now. And I guess I'll give another shout out to No Hope Records because they're going to be on this show and they're really hardworking. Who do you really care about on No Hope?
I mean, we've got the Promise of Redemption record, The Phoenix Within. They're one of the newer labels that I started working with, and I was super stoked to link up with them. I dig everything they're doing. They recently put out a benefit comp.
I have a few bands on that.
Yeah, comp. And so they're just doing some really cool stuff, and I back what they're doing 100%. I love
Philadelphia, dude.
About it. Yeah,
they're good people. They work really hard, and I think they're realistic. And I guess since you brought up that comp, I will give this more narcissism shout out. I work with Best X, which was called Candy Hearts. Candy Hearts has a track on there. I work with Film Speed, who I was just talking to you about outside. Right. They have a track on there, and I work with Boomtown Crooks. So that compilation has been great. So I have directly worked with JD and Sean, and I have zero complaints.
That's right. And Promise of Redemption will be touring with Best X.
Actually, just Shane.
Oh, just Shane.
It is Promise. It's just not full band, Promise of Redemption. But you know what? For all I know, it might not. Dude, honestly, sometimes I find out things.
And I have another band opening for some of those shows. Cozy. He's a singer-songwriter, musician that
I'll take your word for it.
With him. Yeah, he's doing some dates.
Which ones do you recall? Because there's so many different cities.
Yeah, I'll have to go back.
You could tweet that to me
later. I don't
think
he's on the entire tour.
No, 100% he isn't. Because they have several openers. They have this band called Baggage, which is Jono from the Swellers' new band.
Right on, yeah.
And various other bands in various different cities. I don't think that the band you're referring to is playing in L.A. Are you going to be at that L.A. show?
Yeah.
Because I can guest list you.
Oh, nice. Well, thanks,
I don't think you're going to have any trouble with that anyway. But I will be there because Best X, I believe, is going to be staying with me.
Oh, nice.
So, I have never seen Best X because Best X has never played a show.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Excellent. Best excellent.
That's right.
Sick. So let's see. I think we're kind of killing it as far as transitions. Oh, my God. Dude, we still have 15 minutes of pain. This is going to be awesome. So right now, let's hear about some of the bands you work with. My favorite band that you work with, I believe you've been working with longer than any other band, and they are called Real Big Fish.
That's right. They're, I think, my longest client I've had since I started Earshot.
So good.
I used to work with their label Mojo Records. They were my first client.
Goldfinger, dude.
And so Pilfer, remember the Pilfers?
Yep. Shua La Ling.
Yeah,
I saw them on Long Island. Have you ever been to a venue called Deja One in Mineola?
That was pre my era, but I did hear
he does this all the time.
I did hear great stories about Brand New and Taking Back Sunday playing there.
See, that was post my era, but I saw the Pilfers perform at Deja One, and on the album that I was telling you about, Why They Rock So Hard, which is my favorite. He's on it.
That's right.
Pilfer's Real Big
Coolie
Fish.
Right. Yep.
What is number 9 on my outline?
Ska, ska, ska.
That's right. We might get to that more, but I'm just going to go ska, 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 ska.
I'm a big ska fan.
Kubio ska.
I think I've even posted about this. Like, people just need to admit it. You like ska. No shame.
No, but I don't understand why people have guilty pleasures anyway. It's like I still like MC Hammer stuff that made me happy, like when I was a little boy, and if you're ashamed of what you like, then you should change your tune, bro.
It's fun music, man. I like every
Lesson,
you
know, Jake.
First wave, second wave, oh, third wave, all
like
that
Scatolites?
Stuff. Yeah, man. Specials.
Let's talk about ska. Let's talk about ska.
Yeah. So, you know, and a lot of
Specials
people,
played music tastes good.
They did. It was. I was like a. You know, if I could look back at me as a teenager, I was just so stoked.
That's how I felt about meeting Fish for the first time. Like my yeah, teenage version of Scott would be so stoked.
That's right.
Because
and I
that
actually
I
worked.
Mean,
I worked with the Specials back in the day when they were on Way Cool.
Was it special?
Records. It was very special.
So I guess yeah, of the ska bands of the first wave, I would say I'm not as into first wave. I mean, I do. Was it Laurel Atkin or Aitken?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was okay. I thought the Skylights were musically talented. I just didn't identify. Yep. But the two tone stuff, like the beat or the
oh,
English
yeah,
beat and the Specials, I loved it.
Yeah, that's my. I would definitely go back to a lot of
your
that
ride or die
stuff.
Right?
Like they're in my top 20 albums of all time. I think
you like Madness,
all that stuff. Yeah,
I think they're the worst of those three.
Yeah, I mean, I was into them, but I don't know. I just over time, I don't think their music has aged as well as some of the other stuff. But
our house in the middle of our street,
and that tends to be the song that people think of when they think of them.
One step beyond,
exactly.
Yeah, don't fuck with me, dude.
you know your shit.
I know my ska. So, right. But the thing about it is, I was more a third wave or ska punk guy. So. The first ska band I ever heard, and you can make fun of me, and you might not even, I was probably No Doubt.
Okay,
that was probably my gateway drug into that, and then I heard Sublime and Boss Tones. And my world changed when I heard Real Big Fish and Less Than Jake. My entire world. I would put both of those bands in my top 50 of all time.
I mean, you talk about gateway. I just working with this band for so long, I've seen the crowds and the kids, and it just – it's always like
Warped Tour this summer,
new
last
generation
summer.
Yeah, like new kids, and it is the gateway for a lot of kids into kind of the even some of the punk stuff, and I don't know, something about the melodies and the music, it's just very
and the message poppy, is usually
accessible
good.
It kind of I think younger kids kind of gravitate towards that and usually leads to other things. Plus Real Big Fish has always been really cool about bringing out younger bands, and
Kara's Flowers, dude. Which became Maroon 5.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't know that.
That's right. I feel like they've done a good job of touring with a lot of other cool bands, and they're kind of
Teen Hero, Zebrahead, Real Big Fish, one of the best shows I've ever been to my entire life, senior year in high school, Irving Plaza. Fish, have you ever been to Irving Plaza? What is it called now? Test.
The Fillmore at Irving Plaza.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Do you know how many times I've cried at Irving Plaza?
Four.
Twice.
Well,
both of Envy's goodbye show.
It's kind of like when people say, like when girls say that they've slept with three guys, they've slept with nine. So like I assume that, and when guys say they've slept with three girls, they slept with one or none. So
you've cried there more than
he's definitely he's cried there 75 times. I just did the math.
I might have got a little teared up when Good Charlotte played Motivation Proclamation.
Spend you lazy. I saw Good Charlotte open for MXPX on Long Island when Fish was breastfeeding.
Ah.
It was awesome. And to this day, Fish and I still are breastfeeding. Anyway, I digress. We're halfway done with this half. Are you enjoying this interview?
Yeah, man.
Good.
It's going good.
So let's go Scott. It's funny that you actually said the punk, you know, that it might be the gateway for that. The gateway bends to, I guess, me discovering music on my own. Like, I grew up loving Weird Al. I grew up loving The Who. And the Beatles, like I'd say, like those were the three, and the Beach Boys, like stuff like that. And then I started listening to MC Hammer, Vanilla Ice, like all that stuff. But the first bands I got obsessed with on my own in middle school were Green Day, Weezer, and Nirvana. And those three bands are still in my top 10.
Yep.
But Green Day is what showed me The Offspring. The Offspring is what was my gateway. And I talked about this with this guy, Dan Suriff, who's a guest. He works for Mercenary Management. He manages Black Veil Brides.
Uh-huh.
That blew my mind. That showed me Epitaph. That showed me Fat Records. And that changed my life.
Yep.
Do you like that stuff?
I love that stuff.
Mimosa is Pennywise.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you can't grow up in Southern California and not be somehow a fan of like pop punk stuff.
Same with it's growing up on Long Island and just liking shitty music. It's like the same thing.
It's in my DNA. And you know, as you get older, you kind of, you know, your tastes change a little bit, but I always go back to that stuff.
Go back to your roots, dude.
Yeah. And you know,
I love your roots. I love your roots. I see them in your hair right now. It's pretty wonderful.
They're orange. No, they're not.
Yeah, no. Your orange is the new black, dude.
That's right.
And someone said this back to politics. Trump, orange. Obama, black. Orange is the new black. Mind blown. Mind fucking blown.
Good stuff.
That was totally me fishing for a compliment.
I just read online that Sesame Street is doing like a parody of Orange is the New Black.
Wait, Sesame Street is doing a lesbian prison parody? Are you gotta be kidding me.
I swear to God. Look it up.
I don't believe you. I really don't believe you. I don't think it's in PBS's best interest to do a porn parody.
They gave the kind of synopsis and it works. Check it out.
I mean, honestly, you had me this whole interview until you brought that up. But you know what? You might be right, and then I sit corrected. So we have a little bit of time left to discuss a lot because you have a pedigree. So let's talk about It's Not Dead Fest, which you generously asked me and I generously asked Fish to come to. Tell me everything about it, because I was not at the one where there was the wheel, which was, I believe it was NoFX, Pennywise, Descendants were part of that, right?
Yeah. That was one of the – I mean, Fish, were you at that? No, you were at Taste of Chaos, but yeah, I don't think you were at It's Not Dead. But that was
– If It's Not Dead was early 2000s Long Island, Taking Back Sunday, brand new thing, not only would he have been there, he would have been the MC.
Exactly.
Is that fair, Fish? Please say that into the microphone so this is on record.
Everyone knows I'm a sucker for early Long Island
anything
music.
Acoustic?
Yeah. Anything acoustic.
Well, the first It's Not Dead was one of the most fun times I've had at a festival.
Music should be fun, right?
It was a blast. And so when they brought it back, they took a year off and they're bringing it back this year. And I was really pleased and excited that Kevin asked me to come back. And I'm totally looking forward to this next go around. The lineup is just as strong as the first time out, and I'm stoked you guys are going to be out there.
I am so
Rancid,
so damn flattered.
Dropkick, Me First, and the Gimme Gimmies, Guttermouth, the
Interrupters. What are you doing to me right now? You're invading my middle school and high school, right? Like, first of all, Voodoo Glow Skulls are playing. That would have been enough for me. I think they're El Paso punks or something like around that area, or maybe. Or like River, they're either, yeah. What's weird, Riverside, El Paso are similar to me. Isn't that weird?
The Glow Skulls? Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think they're from like the Inland Empire somewhere.
I was wrong.
No.
Shoot the moon!
But I'm super excited. It's going to be hot. It's August 26th.
Yeah, but we're going to be backstage with our snails and concubines. We're all good. Yeah, we're better than the peons.
And tickets are still available, so
I'm not buying a ticket. But if you are listening, you 100% should buy a ticket. This festival is so modestly priced for the amount of bands that you're going to see. I mean, I'll just say, like, I would pay that price for Voodoo Glow Skulls. I would pay that price for Rancid. I would pay that price for Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. Are Mad Caddies a part of it too?
They are, yeah.
I would pay that price for Mad Caddies. Yeah. Like, those are bands that I love. And I saw Mad Caddies on my very first Warped Tour in 98.
Right on.
That.
There you go.
Travis Barker drummed for the Aquabats, and I saw that too.
Oh, wow. Yes. I know. That always trips me out that
it's
he was
crazy.
Played with that band. But yeah, I have another band, Channel 3. I just started working with them. They're playing as well. So
that's dope.
Yeah. So I think any fans of punk rock will dig it.
Old I think school, any fans of school, aggressive music.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The crowd's going to be, I'm guessing the mean age is going to be like 39 at that show.
And it's the whole vibe at the last one was just so awesome. It was like such a positive
vibe. He's not dead.
there were like, well, actually, Buzzcocks, speaking of the British accent,
ever fall in love
super
with someone.
Excited to see them. But it's a family friendly thing. You know, a lot of older punks bring their kids and turn them on to
little
the music
kids with
day.
Mohawks.
Yeah.
Which I see in Southern California more than any place combined for the record. On Long Island, when I was growing up, no fucking kids had Mohawks. Yeah. No little kids had. I see it here all the time. Like, I'm walking on Abbot Kinney and I see a kid with more piercings than I have, and like a septum pierce, and the mom's wearing like a Death Cab for Cutie shirt, and the dad. LA's weird, dude.
I always trip out when you see the little kids at shows with the big earmuffs on, like the big headphones.
Which is good.
Is smart, yeah.
Or the kids wheeling their book bags. Yeah. Like, I'm like, come on, you pussies. Get scoliosis like me.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. So let's just see. Hang on 1 second. And for the record, I think It's Not Dead Fest is the best value you will have all year. And I'm not just saying that. Like, buy a ticket. Go. Go, go, go. If I was not working behind the scenes for it, which I technically am, I would be in the audience. But now I have escargot.
Carte blanche. No.
No, no. Escargot. Like escargot. Go. Yeah, dad yeah. jokes, dude. Do you have a dad joke?
I do, but you're putting me on the spot.
Technically, life is putting people on the spot.
I know. My life is a dad joke.
See, that was awesome.
Yeah.
High five.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a few more minutes. And again, I want to thank Mike Kubiyos for being on the show. What's crazy is so we have I'm going to show you this right now. You talk about whether you want it to be number 7 or number 8 on here. I would say 8.
Yeah. I mean
– which
yeah,
is, I think, the most important one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I will reveal to you what number 8 is. It's wife/kids. As we learned on this show and as I learned a little bit ago, Mike has been happily married for quite some time, and he has some offspring, pun intended. That's your great. Floor.
Well, yeah, I've been my wife again, high school sweethearts,
or, so fucking rad.
Really college sweethearts, but we met in high school.
So high school lookers, college sweethearts,
exactly.
Thank you.
And we have two kids, Maggie and Oliver. They're twins. They're 15.
Weren't you in the school. Midwest with them recently?
We were. We were in Chicago.
Yeah. Pizza.
That's right. And so, you know, that's a huge part of my life.
It's the biggest part.
The music keeps me super busy, but I always, make time for the family. And, when I'm not making pitches and going to shows and doing all that, I'm with my family and, the kids.
Can I say something nice to you? Can I say something really nice that I just thought of?
What's that?
Considering, like, because I don't have kids.
Okay.
So in this room right now, Fish isn't married.
Yeah.
And has no kids that he or I know about. I definitely don't have any kids unless, like, someone really wants to shock me. But I'm married. Now, you're married with children, yep. Plural. You still respond to me expeditiously. Yep. And I know that you have a lot on your plate.
Yep.
So I am grateful to you for that.
Well, thank you. It's definitely a struggle, a balance that you have to find. Especially now with, having our cell phones on all the time.
What? What? Your cell phone?
As he checks his email.
As I
right
check
now.
My outline. Yeah, actually, can you rant for about a minute? I got to respond to an email.
Yeah.
My OkCupid profile is blowing up right now.
Yeah.
I'm married.
During this interview was probably the longest I've gone without checking my email.
Well, I told you to turn your phone off, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And dude, I actually kind of, when this show is over, I want to hear your phone beep like a motherfucker when we're done.
Yeah. So, it constantly trying to find that balance. Do you think you'll have kids eventually?
Yes. I hope so. Awesome. I don't know the future of my sperm and or her eggs.
Yes.
But I can tell you we haven't tried yet, and I will leave it at that before she assassinates me.
There you go.
Thank you.
There you go. Well, it's –
Oh, Fish wants to say something. Oh, God.
Don't you have to be important for it to be considered an assassination?
See, Fish, it's great. I involve him on my show. He doesn't involve me on his, and he's always so complimentary. And on Adobe, I'd say I'm like the second or third least important guest here. So it's really – wait, Fish, would you say that I'm unimportant?
No, but not important.
Are you important just because you're verified on Twitter?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm very irrelevant.
Well, here's the thing. Mike Kubiyos is important in this scene.
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, you're modest. I think you're important. I do not think Fish is important. I think he's more important than I am. So obviously in the life scale of wisdom, it's him, then me, then you. On the important scale, I'd say you, him, then me. And the body hair scale, I say it's me, him, then you.
Maybe. I don't know.
Dude.
I'm pretty hairy.
Oh, he's chiming in.
I am one hairy dude.
Yeah, but show me your shoulders.
I'm wearing a hoodie for
exactly. We'll take it off.
Okay,
Fish.
Right on.
So anyway, it's a Long Island thing. We are the missing link. So we are basically done. I'm going to just talk very quickly about the next few weeks of guests, and then you have, I guess, a Jerry Springer final thought, which I've never done before. So I am putting you on the spot, but you have time to prepare.
Yep.
So again, Mike is awesome. I really hope you enjoyed this broadcast. I did. Like, if it was 20 minutes, it felt like 19. It moved really quickly. So thank you for that. All right. So next week, I'm interviewing J.D. Perry and Sean Dorsey of No Hope, but I'm not sure when that's going to be broadcast because that was moved. So next week's show will be Zach Falco, who is a booking agent. The following week's show will be Ray Rolden, who is another PR guru. And the following week after that is Megan Thompson at Hopeless Records. So final thoughts, sir.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. Thanks. Keep
up
the
good
work.
Do you mean it? Like, really?
I'm a fan of the show. I'm a fan of the, you know, Adobe in general, Fish, YouTube. thank you for having me.
You look in his eyes right now. You can't see it. He is being sincere, which is rare in L.A. I just want you to know that. So going to close out with one more Mike.
Cubillos.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
It's been fun.